The devil will try whatever he can to keep you away from here. Because when you come here, you can hear from God. You can experience from God. See, the devil doesn't want your life to change. The devil will keep you away from anything that transforms your life. So well done, everybody, for getting the victory so far today. We're going to talk about an area of life that we can all relate to. Let's make sure this is on first. Yeah, this one is in. Come on. Don't tell me the battery's gone already. Do you want to have a quick look at that?
Les, are we actually on the...
Hello. Can we take a seat?
It's just the right button.
Okay. So this talk is about fighting discouragement. We've all been discouraged from time to time. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and I've got another day, I've got the same job that I go to, I'm not appreciated in that job. Sometimes you come to church and you think, you're just going through the motions again, and you question whether you're going to encounter God or anything different is going to take place. What is discouragement? It is losing the desire and motivation to continue doing something that brings purpose and satisfaction to one's life. In a spiritual sense, it could mean losing the desire and motivation to attend church and minister to others. You know, many of us, when we first came to faith, we were on fire for God. We wanted to do so much. We had a sense of joy, our sins being taken away and replaced with God's love and peace. But over time, to an extent, I think we can all relate to this, the trials of life can zap away at the joy and makes us feel distant from God, allowing fear and discouragement to set in. So how do we overcome discouragement? I'm going to be referring to somebody in the Bible that experienced those emotions and many other emotions. King David. When we read the Psalms, there's 150 Psalms, 73 of them were written by David. And David was going through so many trials. There was times where he would be distant from God because he had sinned and he felt guilt and shame. There was times where he was on the run, the story of King Saul's army chasing after him. And there are other times that he would just cry, but it's something that we can all relate to emotionally. There's times where we cry out to God. And the first thing that David did that we can learn is to have a Godward mindset. The first principle of overcoming discouragement is to focus on God. Psalm 16:8. I'm having a nightmare with this. It's normally up there. Okay, well, let's read this together. Deliver me from my enemies. No, let's try the other one before that. Don't you normally have to do the... We'll get there in the end. Right, let's read Psalm 16:8. I have always kept the Lord in my sight because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. David's saying that I've always focused on God. He is in my sight and he is at my right hand. Being at your right hand means he's your power and he's your strength. I will not be shaken. When your focus is on God, then you will not be shaken. It's when you take your eyes off of God, then you can be moved with fear can enter in. We're going to read another psalm in a minute, but the devil wants you to have a godless mindset. He wants you to see the problems, the giants, the mountains, the lions. He doesn't want you to see God. You see, when you see God, then you're going to overcome. You're going to have his perspective of life. And you're going to see you overcoming the situation. King David took on Goliath, a familiar story. And the Goliath was intimidating the Israeli army, the army of Israel. They were shaking because this giant was taunting the army. But King David, knowing who he was and having that intimacy with God, staying focused on God, he was able to go up to Goliath and say, listen, you come to me with spears, you come to me with a sword, but I come to you in the living God. You see, when a man is focused on God and knows the power that comes from God, there is a strength that rises up. See, King David chose to see God in everything. That is why he didn't get overwhelmed in the bad times. The giants, you won't see the giants, the lions, but God wants you to see him. You know, David showed up with that slingshot and he overcame. David saw God in everything. So it's a choice that we can make. God says he will never leave us or forsake us. God is there whether we acknowledge him or not. If we don't acknowledge him, then things can be overwhelming and we stop the possibility of seeing God come through. The next psalm we're going to read is when the King Saul's army was chasing after David. And David cried out, says, deliver me from my enemies. Oh my God, defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life and mighty gather against me. Not for my transgressions, not for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold. But you, Lord, shall laugh at them and shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you, O you, his strength. For God is my strength, is my defense. My God of mercy shall come and meet me. God will let me see the desires of my enemy. You see, they was part of Saul's army before the army was attacking him. He knew what went on in the government. But there was a song that was being sung at the time that King Saul can defeat 1,000, but King David can defeat 10,000. So through a demonic jealousy or fits of rage, Saul started to try and kill David. But David had a mindset. No matter what was happening, would always bring God into it. What happens when we bring God into it? Instant encouragement. When you decide to turn to God and you experience the presence of God, faith rises up. What happens? Instant encouragement comes because you're seeing it from God's perspective. What's the second thing that happens? Feeds our belief and starves our worries. Feeds our beliefs and starves our worries. Faith rises up when you focus on God. When your mind is on God, faith rises up. When you practice the presence of God, when we begin to worship, when we study the Word of God, when we begin to praise and worship God, then our faith rises up and fears are dispelled. You see a big God and a little devil. God gets bigger and the problems get smaller. You see, when you feed your faith, the fear gets smaller. But when you take your mind off God and onto what devil's trying to tell you and the cares and the worries of this world, your fears grow and your faith in God recedes. What's the fourth thing? Not only do you get encouraged, but you become an encourager of people. Encourager of people. David was great at this. He used to encourage his army to carry on in the fight. He influenced so many people because he was in right standing with God. And I believe that's what God wants to do in our lives. When our lives are right and full of God, and we're full of positivity, then we can encourage other people. We have a choice. And the other thing then is it changes the way you speak. You speak life, you don't speak death. This is a microphone for either God or the devil. I'm either encouraging people I'm bringing them closer to the Lord, or I'm being used of the enemy to discourage and put people down. How many of you want to be used of God for the right reasons? Isn't it so much better to lift people up? The Bible says, lift others higher than yourselves. We heard that earlier. So the second thing to overcome encouragement is have a realistic expectations. When you become a Christian, you're not going to get things right straight away. In fact, when you choose to serve the Lord, all hell breaks loose. There's difficulties that are going to arise. So when David was anointed by Saul, instead of like a limo or a Bentley coming up and he's then taken to the palace in Jerusalem, he had to go through so many battles. If you look at his life, trying to be killed, falling into all kinds of difficulties. If that was me, I think I would have a conversation with Samuel and say, listen, before you anoint me, I don't think I really want to be doing this. If you had warned me before, I don't think I really want to be king. But David chose to fight. I'm saying to you, when you choose to be a Christian, there's going to be a fight. But I want to tell you today, you're going to overcome. If you remain positive, if you remain strong in the Lord, you will overcome. We don't want the devil take away what God has already started. You know, the other thing to consider is to put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. Isaiah 61:3. It's something that you have to do. If you want to experience more of God, you have to then decide, I'm going to seek more of Him. I'm going to choose to praise Him. It doesn't just happen. You have to put on that garment of praise. David was anointed king by Samuel, and from then on there was problem after problem. You know, he faced Goliath. King Saul was trying to kill him. His wife was taken by the Amalekites, and his men were speaking of stoning him. Just think what he was going through compared to what you're going through. But he chose to remain faithful. He chose to see it from God's perspective. John 16:33. Reads, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, and in the world you should have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus is reminding us, no matter how difficult it gets in this world, if you continue to put your trust in Jesus, you will overcome, just as he overcame. But it's a condition. You've got to focus on the Lord and stay in faith. There's going to be a fight, but you're going to win. Every time you feel discouraged, there's going to be a fight, but you're going to win. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Help with this one. I need prayer for this. I'm going from one over to the third one instead of the second.
Oh, it takes about a second to respond.
Yeah. Okay, Romans 5:34 says, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. When you go through your stuff, David, God is molding you. He's refining you. He's more interested in your character than anything else. And if you go with him in the tribulation and you come out the other end, you can glorify God by passing the test. But have you been in those battles where you end up not wanting to go through, and then you end up repeating the same thing over and over again? Stick with the Lord as he takes you through it. Paul says there's going to be problems, but God's going to do good things within those problems, and we are going to win. Amen? David didn't get overwhelmed by the fight. So instead of David being anointed king and his Bentley turning up, going to Jerusalem, all hell breaks loose. Realistic expectations. This is what discouraged people say they get it wrong. I expect victory without difficulty. There's not going to be a fight, but I'm going to win anyway. It's not going to happen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange things happen to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering. And when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Peter here is confirming to believers by saying, if you're going through trouble, well, join the club. The devil will fight you on your way to the promised land. Are you surprised of that? That the devil wants to stop you from growing in Christ and following the right path. But it's going to be a fight, and you're going to win. In every good thing that you do in this life, there's going to be a fight. If there isn't, you're probably on the wrong direction. The other thing, the third thing, talking about overcoming discouragement, is faith in God's grace. We've got to realize that this is not about us. This is all about Christ and what he does. When the devil comes to tell you, Lord, you can't do this, you messed up, you made that mistake, tell him that this is not about me, this is not about my performance, this is about the grace of God. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the favor, but it's the God that's working through me. The devil wants to remind you when you mess up, this is all about you, but you don't. You just tell him that I'm just a weak vessel used by you. And even if I do mess up, God's grace, God's forgiveness is there to cover me. What qualified David to become a king in Israel? Nothing. Young boy, weak, untrained, uneducated, no background in government or finance. God chose him. You know, some people say he was a man after God's own heart, but he had sin in his life. He had pride, lust. He was a violent man. So when David was there sitting in Ziklag, he never made it about him. This was when you know you are walking in grace or not. Grace is all about God and his goodness. Performance is all about us and how qualified we are to do something. You know, when I first got saved, I remember receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I was out there trying to do this for God, that for God. And after about a month, I'm like, well, I'm not really experienced much of God here. What's happened? I was about me. It was about what I could do. Christianity is not about what you can do and how to please God. You don't need to try and please God. It's a free gift. Once you've given your life to Jesus in faith and you receive that gift and you're made right, we then just rely on him to empower us, and he works through us. Although the devil will try to tell you it's about you. It's not about performance, but obedience. I stand here in the mercy of God. We read earlier Psalms 59. My God of mercy, David cried out. What does that mean? I don't deserve it. Everything is a free gift. So when you make financial decisions that are poor, my God of mercy. Every time you turn to something that you know you shouldn't have done, cry out, my God of mercy. Don't let the devil condemn you and allow you to live anymore in guilt, shame. The moment you confess sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of the sin, because it's all about Christ, not about you. We're taught that we overcome the devil in this world by the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And again, when the devil comes to condemn you, just tell him, just one more drop of the blood of Jesus will forgive me and I can be restored. And we continue to overcome because of the word of our testimony. We all have a testimony, I'd like to think, of when we called upon the Lord and we were saved. And as we walk with the Lord and he answers our prayers, we have testimonies. So when Satan comes to like put doubt in your mind, take you off course, you just remind yourself of what God has done in your life, how good he's been, how faithful he's been to keep you on the straight and narrow. We can overcome, saints of God, discouragement. So just a reminder, have your mind on Christ. Have a mindset, a godly mindset. Refuse fear. Refuse doubt. Remain in the presence of God, focusing on a God that has the victory for you, that will give you the strategy. Have you noticed when you come into the presence of God, your whole attitude changes? Instead of seeing the problem that overwhelms you, you now have a God in you that can overwhelm the situation and show you how to overcome it. Have a realistic expectation. If you want to see more of God, be realistic. You can't play around with sin. Play with the things of darkness and expect to experience the power of God. We still need to decide, are we going to give all of our lives to Jesus? Are we going to have one foot in the kingdom of God, one foot in the kingdom of the devil? Or are we going to give everything to him? I want to encourage you, more of your life over to Jesus. If you want to see more of the power of God, if you want to see it real in your life, it's a choice. Hold on to sin and God can't get through. Bible says the sin that separated me from you. When that wall of sin is broken, God can come in and you can experience it. And finally, it's about the grace of God. No one here is here by merit. It's nothing that you can do. It is by grace that you're saved. Through faith, it is a gift of God, nothing of yourself. So when you mess up next time, and the devil tries to say, look, Suzanne, look what you've done it. You've done it again. Barry, look, you ended up doing that again. Just say, my God of mercy. My God of mercy will forgive me and restore me and pick me up again so I can fight another day. We're going to be encouraged this week, yeah? All about your mindset. I spoke earlier about a testimony. Barry, you know what happened yesterday? We were in a town centre. Woman came up. She knows Barry. She knows myself. She knows Costa. I need prayer. She's having a panic attack. So, okay, we'll pray for you. But Lord, we're saying, what's going on with this woman? And the moment this woman started thinking about her financial position and the debt that she was in, that's what invoked the spirit of fear into her life. Do you understand? Because her mind wasn't on a God that was going to supply every need. It wasn't a God that was going to do something good in her life. Her focus was on what the devil was trying to do. Fear is the devil's anointing. But we have the victory. I want to encourage you this week to think as God would think. We spoke earlier, we read earlier, have the mind of Christ. Start to think the thoughts that God has for you, the positive thoughts, thoughts of victory, thoughts of blessing, rather than the destructive behavior that Satan wants you to engage in so you never fulfill your purpose and never experience the true freedom. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to encourage anybody that wants prayer, we're going to pray over you. If you're struggling with anything, Les and Gary are going to come and pray for you. Because we want to go into greater depths of freedom, don't we? We don't want just to be talking about it. We want to live it. We want this word to bind us to it and let it become a reality. If you're still struggling with sinful habits, a lot of the time it's because we've allowed the devil to lie to us. You see, the devil will tempt you, will place a thought in your mind, and then that thought will then grow into a sinful activity. That sinful activity will grow into sinful habit, and that sinful habit will turn into addiction. That's how it is. But we believe in the power of God that can set you free. And as you change your mind, as you turn away from it, I can guarantee you this will work. You will see more of God. Amen. I'm just going to play the last song. I encourage you to come up and to have the leadership team pray over you. Thank you.